Good morning, Thursday, July 9th, 10:20, starting Chem 3 lecture. And I need to get my screen share going. There we go. Okay, so where we left off yesterday. Yesterday, we were doing concentrations. And we had covered yesterday. We covered percent, parts per million, parts per billion. Today, we're going to cover molarity. So those percents, just as a reminder that when we were doing percents, we were doing the part out of the whole. And then we were multiplying by, if it were percent, we were multiplying by 100. If it were part per million, we were multiplying by a million. We multiply by whatever the multiplier is out of this, and that would take us into percent. And that part, we were saying that this was the solute, the thing that is dissolved. And the whole is the solution, where the solution is both the solute and the solvent. So it's important that the whole contains both of those things, the solute and the solvent. Molarity is different. So molarity is still thought of as the part and the whole. But when we think of molarity, oh, my camera's off. Let's get that turned on. When we think of molarity, what molarity is molarity equals moles of solute over liters of solution. Where again, this is still the part divided by the whole, but now it's not in percent, it's a part in moles. And it's the whole in terms of volume. And that means that this becomes a mole to volume conversion factor. So molarity is a mole to volume ratio and can be used as a conversion factor. So let's first show how we make a solution and then show how we use a solution. Solutions are typically made by taking and weighing out an amount of solid. I'm almost tempted to go grab an image of a balance that I have, but we typically weigh out a solid on weighing paper or something. So we have the solid that's here that we've weighed out. And let's say that this is sodium chloride, and that of this sodium chloride, we have weighed out an amount that is 0.326 grams of sodium chloride. We then take that piece of weighing paper and we fold it in a triangular way to kind of make a funnel of sorts. And we put it into a piece of glassware that is called a volumetric glassware. And the volumetric glassware has a round bulb at the bottom, usually a little bit of a flat base, and it has a line on it, only one line. And that line has a specific milliliter mark on it. Let's say that this is a 500 milliliter volumetric flask. And usually these are very accurate to within plus or minus 0.1 or 0.01 milliliters. So they're very accurate, and you fill to the line with whatever solution it is that you want to make. So we put in the sodium chloride sitting in the bottom of this flask, and we have now added in the 0.326 grams. Then what we do is we take that flask and we fill that flask to the calibration mark with water. And the calibration mark, the volume, will include both the solute. So this is the solute that we have added into it. And then we fill this, as I said, with water right up to the line so that the meniscus, remember the meniscus is shaped as a curve, and we want the bottom of that meniscus to be right on that line. And then we put a cap on it and we mix it up. And the reason that this thing has this gap here, this air gap, this forms what's called a mixing bubble. And the mixing bubble, when you turn it upside down, that mixing bubble releases up into the flask and allows you to shake the flask. And yes, we use distilled water or deionized water generally for scientific experiments. So the type of water that we put in here is deionized water generally. Deionized water means that it has had all of the ionic contaminants such as magnesium or calcium or sodium, all of those cations and the anions like phosphate, sulfate, it has had all of those removed such that it is essentially pure water that we're adding to it. We turn it upside down and we mix it, and once it all dissolves, that becomes our solution. And the solution, then, we can calculate the molarity. I'm trying to move the arrow. Come on, arrow. There we go. And so now we can ask the question, we could say, what is the molarity of this solution, or calculating the molarity of the solution? So let's take this solution that we have made now, and this solution is now 500 milliliters in size, and the solid, I'm not gonna be able to get rid of the solid. How do I get rid of this? I have to get rid of everything that's there. So this now is my solution, and we can't see the sodium chloride in it, but it has the sodium chloride dissolved in it entirely, and it is 500.0 milliliters of solution. So to calculate molarity, the molarity then equals moles of sodium chloride over liters of solution. And what we do is we take the grams of sodium chloride, 0.326 grams NaCl, and we write it over the 500 milliliters of solution. And we're going to take, in a roadmap sense, and we are going to convert the numerator into moles of sodium chloride. And the denominator, we're going to convert into liters of solution. Now, we could do this separately. We could do it as two different roadmaps, and then we can divide the two. That works just fine. And then I'll show you a way to throw it all into one equation and how we can do it all together. So let's take and first convert 0.326 grams of sodium chloride into moles. We need the molar mass to do that. So we need to look at the molar mass of sodium and the molar mass of chloride. Sodium, I believe, is 22.99. And chloride is 35.45. So we should get 58 something. 22.99 plus 35.45, 58.44. And then I will take my 0.326 grams for every 58.44 grams of sodium chloride. I get one mole. So that's 0.326 divided by 58.44, 0.00557871. I'm going to let it run long in the calculator. Next thing, I will convert the 500 milliliters into an amount in liters. So 500.0 milliliters times for every 1,000 milliliters, I get 1 liter. So that's going to be 0.5000, keeping the correct number of sig figs, liters. And now we'll calculate out the molarity. And the molarity is going to equal the 0.00557871 moles of NaCl divided by 0.5000 liters of solution. And that is 0.01115-6742. And that is moles per liter. And we need to do sig figs. We had 4 sig figs in the denominator. In the numerator, this was based off of 3. So this would have been 1, 2, 3. That would have been my sig fig location there. So this is good to 3. That means that I'm going to be good to 3 out here. And I will round that to 0.0112 moles per liter sodium chloride. And that is my concentration of sodium chloride. I could have done that all in one roadmap. I could have taken, so this is an alternative way to actually do that. I could have taken the grams, what was it, 0.326 of sodium chloride, and my liters, 500.0 milliliters of solution, and converted the numerator first by taking it and saying it was 58.44 grams of sodium chloride for every 1 mole. And in the denominator, I want to convert milliliters that is here. So milliliters will have to go into my numerator, milliliters of solution, to liters of solution, what I desire in the denominator. And it is 1,000 milliliters for every 1 liter. Notice that the milliliters of solution cancels here, and I'm left with liters in my denominator. The grams of sodium chloride cancels here, and I'm left with moles of sodium chloride in my numerator. And punching that in and rounding it to the correct number of sig figs would give me the 0.0112 moles per liter NaCl.
How did you cancel the milliliters from the first denominator?
When I took milliliters from the first denominator and I put it in the numerator, they canceled numerator to denominator.
I see. Okay.
That's how that worked. So it allowed me to be able to do it all in one calculation to be able to get the answer. However you do it, whether you break it up or whether you do it all in one calculation, is entirely up to you. Just be careful not to create roundoff error by not prematurely rounding off this value before you go through and calculate out what the actual molarity is, okay? So now we know how to calculate a molarity. How do we use molarity? Molarity is a mole to volume ratio. Mole of solute to volume of solution. It allows us to go from volume to moles without having to actually use molar mass. So as a mole of solute to volume solution, we no longer need molar mass. Molar mass is essentially baked into molarity. So we can ask questions now. We can say, example, how many milliliters of a 0.972 moles per liter sodium phosphate solution are required to give, let's do 3.25 times 10 to the minus third moles of Na3PO4. So we have a recipe that calls for a certain number of moles of sodium phosphate, and my solution is a 0.972 moles per liter solution. How many milliliters of that solution are required to get that many number of moles? I don't actually need molar mass at this point. What this is going to allow me to do is it is going to allow me to be able to go from the moles to the liters of solution and then to the milliliters of solution. And so I'm going from Na3PO4 moles. This is my roadmap of how I'm actually going to use it. Oh, look, my service is restored. Thank you, Xfinity, from yesterday. As I was waiting for Xfinity to tell me when my service came back up online. That was helpful. Okay, so to do this problem, what we do is we take the 3.25 times 10 to the minus third moles. Of Na3PO4, and we use the molarity as a conversion factor. The moles Na3PO4 to the liters of solution, and it is 1 liter of solution equals 0.972 moles. And so I'm thinking about that molarity. When I write molarity, maybe I should do this just above this. when I write molarity and it is 0.972 moles per liter solution, this is equivalent to writing 0.972 moles equals 1 liter solution. And as an equality, I can choose then which unit goes in the numerator and which goes in the denominator. If I keep it written as a fraction, it's hard to see where the numerator and denominator go. But when I write it as an equality, and then I'm taking and canceling units, moles of sodium phosphate to moles of sodium phosphate, and they are going numerator to denominator, now I can see where my values need to go in order to do the calculation correctly. So that can be helpful to write it as an equality as opposed to a fraction. And then we need to convert the liters, 1 liter solution converts into 1,000 milliliters. So we go through and we do that calculation, 3.25 times 10 to the minus 3 divided by 0.972 times 1,000. It is 3.3436214, I'm going to round it there, milliliters of solution. And sig fig wise, I have three, I have exact, so I'll round my answer to three, and it will be 3.34 milliliters of solution. That many milliliters of solution will give me the number of moles that I required, 3.25 times 10 to the minus third, and I didn't need molar mass. Which is kind of nice.
Can you re-explain really quickly the how you know where to put the numbers using the equality example?
Yeah. Remember that what we're doing is we're taking the given unit, and the given unit always goes in the denominator. The desired unit always in the numerator. So as I go given in the denominator, that sets up moles of sodium phosphate in the denominator. My first desired is liters, that goes in the numerator. And then when I write this as an equality, the 0.972 moles goes with the moles value, and it is always one in the denominator, 1 liter. So once I know where the units go, then I can take the values and put the values in appropriately.
I think when I first saw the problem, I like my instinct was to actually switch the numerator there with the initial value, 3.25.
Yeah, that would get you in trouble. Yes. And so learning how to use this, I mean, if you think about this, moles per liter, and we've only done this one other time. The only other time that we did this with two units like this was with density, where density was in grams per milliliter. And we took densities and we wrote densities out as equalities. And we learned how to get the right units in the right place to be able to do the problem. This is the exact same skill set, just different units doing the exact same thing. So if you think about this or treat this like a density, you'll have a much easier time figuring out how to do the units. So think of it like a density with two units. It gets a little bit more complicated in that molarity has a symbol that we use for it. Equals moles per liter solution, and it's moles of solute, whatever the solute is. And then this we write either in moles per liter, or we write an abbreviated capital M. Actually, I like to do it, it's italicized, it's supposed to be italicized. But italicized, when you write an italic M, this is a straight M written with an underline, the italics is the underline. So when you see it written in text, most of the time what you will see is you will see it written with the underline underneath it. And that implies or means molarity. And it means units of moles of solute per liter solution. And so you could write the answer. For instance, we had 0.792 moles per liter. 0.792 moles per liter sodium phosphate can equal 0.792 capital M underscore sodium phosphate. And they mean the exact same thing. It could also be written 0.792 moles sodium phosphate per liter solution. But most of the time, you'll see it done this way. And a lot of the time in the book, you'll see it done with the capital M with the underscore. So you need to, when you see that capital M with an underscore, you need to think, oh, moles per liter. That those two things, the way they're writing out these units, that they mean the same thing. Okay.
Moles per liter.
Moles per liter means moles per liter. I'm kind of wanting to grab something from stoichiometry that we were doing, but I have to find it. I don't remember what day we did it on. So I have to look back until I can find stoichiometry. Roadmaps. It'll be in here. There it is. Okay. You guys remember this roadmap, right? So as we put this roadmap in, this looks familiar. We did liquids, pure liquids. So I might amend this to say pure liquids at the top. And from pure liquids, we were able to use densities to be able to get into grams and then their molar mass to be able to get into moles. And then we could dump out into atoms or molecules in this way. We now have a new roadmap into stoichiometry. We have a new roadmap that comes in. I need a new color. Maybe I'll use green for these solutions. And in this new roadmap, I don't like that arrow. I want something nice. Let's do it that way. In this new roadmap, I could come from milliliters of solution A, and this would be the molarity, moles per liter. Oh, actually, this will have to be not milliliters, but liters. I have molarity, moles per liter of A. And I could come from other volume units. And I can dump back out of this into liters of solution B. And out into other volume units. And it gives me a roadmap that takes me into directly into moles without having to go to grams. I get to bypass the grams entirely because this is a mole to liter conversion factor and this is a solution. And so now I can use solutions to be able to get into my roadmap to be able to do stoichiometry with, which is where we go in the next chapter. So as soon as we start the next chapter and we start looking at more stoichiometry problems and stoichiometry of chemical reactions, this process of using molarity to be able to get in and out of the stoichiometry roadmap is a big deal because it allows me to bypass molar mass, because molar mass is baked into the moles per liter. It is a mole to volume conversion factor and allows me to go directly into the mole bridge from that point of, okay? Letting that sink in for a second, that all of a sudden now we've got a whole new way in and out of the roadmap. Let's do a couple more example problems, or one more example problem, and then maybe let's take a break. And then we'll see where we want to go from there. So I need a good problem to go through and do. I don't want to do a stoichiometry problem just yet. I want to do a molarity problem, just to highlight one more time how we can use this. Let me see if I see a good one. In the book here real quick. Ooh, they have changes in molarity. I don't know if that's I didn't see that in the chapter. That gets scary. Okay. Yeah, they do dilutions. So we might need to cover dilutions when we come back. How many moles of iron 3 chloride are in 525 milliliters of a 0.062 moles per liter FeCl3 solution. How many moles of iron 3 chloride are in 525 milliliters of a 0.062 molar? That's the other thing. Molar. All these things as I'm saying it. We often say the word molar. Molar is a way of abbreviating moles per liter or talking about molarity. So molar equals molarity. So we oftentimes, when we say this phrase, we will say 0.062 molar solution. A 0.062 molar solution equals 0.062 this way equals 0.062 moles per liter. And they are all equivalent ways of stating the problem. And for our roadmap, we're breaking it out into a given and a desired. So let's go back into that process of given and desired. What I want is how many moles? Moles are over here. moles FeCl3. And my given is 525 milliliters of solution. So I've got milliliters solution. And this value is an equality. The equality converts from moles to liters or liters to moles. So the equality that I have here when I'm looking at this and I'm looking at these different units, I'm going from a volume to essentially moles, which is a count. And so I need a volume to count or a volume to mole relationship. That's what my molarity is. And my molarity gets me from there. I can think about this as that dividing line, and that that dividing line takes me from liters of solution all the way over to moles of that iron chloride. And so that's what my molarity is doing for me. That means that I can come from the liters of solution here, and I can go directly to the moles, and all I need to do is bridge this gap here, which is a milliliters to liters conversion factor. So I'm going to go from milliliters of solution to liters of solution to moles of solution. And I'm going to use this guy, my molarity that was given to me, as that conversion factor. Does that help in blocking it out and seeing how I'm building that roadmap?
You're using what as your conversion factor? Can you say that again?
Molarity. I'm using the molarity as the conversion factor.
Okay, thank you.
So now in writing it out, 525 milliliters of solution times for every 1,000 milliliters of solution, I get 1 liter of solution. Now I can go in and I can use my molarity, putting liters of solution in the denominator and my desired of moles of FeCl3 in the numerator. This that I'm writing out right now is that molarity conversion factor. And the value of liters is 1 and the number of moles is 0.062. That's the end of the roadmap. I have canceled milliliters, I have canceled liters, and I have moles in the numerator. So that is 525 divided by 1,000 times 0.062. 0.3255. And that is moles, FeCl3. But we need to do sig figs. That's always that last part. Sig figs, there was 3, definition, 2. So I need to round to 2. This is not the round even rule. Be careful here. This is 5, but it's not exactly 5 because there's another 5 that's following it. So this is not the round even. This is the round up rule. So this equals 0.033 moles FeCl3.
Why does the 5 after it make it not the round even rule?
Because we said that it was only when it was exactly 5. The round even rule. The round even rule says only when it is exactly 5. For instance, 0.0325, this would have been the round even rule. And I would have rounded this, would have been rounded to 0.032 round even. But 0.03250001, this is taken to be greater than 5 because it has a number that follows after it. And because it has a number that falls after it, this is greater than 5. And so this would round to 0.033. Whoa. So it has to be exactly 5 with nothing after it.
If there's any number that comes after that 5, then the round even rule is overridden.
That's right.
Crazy. Okay.
Yes, I know. But that's why I was reminding you guys. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. We do multiple.
Question.
Yes.
You kind of confused me on the when you say round even, but 3 is an odd number.
Yes, but round even, I said this is not the round even rule. So I did not apply the round even rule. I rounded up. However, when I round here, I am also rounding up because this is greater than 5. But if it is exactly 5, I round even. 2 is even.
Okay.
So this one was the round even rule. This was rounding up.
So the round even rule only applies if the last number is a 5. There are no numbers coming after it.
That is correct.
Cool. Thank you.
What if it had been 0.03250?
Oh, darn it. Give it to me again. Tell me the number.
0.03250. And you're rounding to 2 sig figs?
Yeah. We would count that as the round even rule because this is a 0 and it's not greater than 5. It would be, it doesn't matter how many zeros, as long as there's as long as there isn't a non-zero.
Okay.
So anything more than a non-zero would kick this to greater than 5. That's what we would say. So this one would be 0.032. This is round even. We would say this is exactly 5. It's this that was kicking it that we rounded up because that made it greater than 5. All right. I feel like I was losing you guys more on the sig figs rules than I did on the molarity. Everybody good on the molarity for the most part? Okay. Let's take a break here. Go stretch. We'll come back. We'll see what we do from here. I'm going to go see whether or not I need to do volume or shoot. What is it called? I got to go see what the book says. Make sure I'm not missing something. We'll come back in 10 minutes. 11:15. All right. Music coming up.
Down on yet you promise me everything, everything. I know we have a chemistry. This combination's heavenly. But don't forget that you promised me
making this live CD and everything. And we just want to get nice and loose with y'all. We don't want to be thinking too hard about what we're doing up here. You know? We want to get y'all involved a little bit.
Okay, coming back online here. Let's see what we can do. Sorry, I forgot to mute my microphone. I think you guys probably heard me typing away over here as I was typing out some letters to colleagues and students and other things during the break. I should have gotten up and walked around, and instead I spent my break communicating. All right. I did indeed take a look at the chapter, and they do have dilutions in the chapter. So we should hit dilutions really quick too. Fortunately, dilutions are pretty easy. And so that gives us one more thing here to complete before we complete this chapter. There is a dilution formula. Dilutions, the idea of doing dilutions is the idea of taking a more concentrated solution and diluting it down to a less concentrated solution. And in essence, what we do is we take a solution of known concentration. We could say that we have a 0.500 molar sodium chloride solution, for lack of something more creative. And what we do with the solution is we take that volumetric glassware and we pour this into the volumetric glassware. Just an amount of it, a specific amount. And usually what we use is another piece of glassware that is also a volumetric, but it's called a volumetric pipette. And the volumetric pipette is shaped this way. It has a very thin stem, comes down to a point, and it's open at the bottom. And then there's a bulb that is within this. And this bulb draws up a specific volume. And then we use a rubber squeeze bulb at the top of this that we use to suck this up with. And there's a line that is here that we fill with the meniscus. And this has a certain rating on it, like say this is 25 milliliters. And so we suck up 25 milliliters of this solution. And then we transfer that 25 milliliters over. And we deliver all those 25 milliliters into this volumetric flask. And then once we've delivered 25 milliliters, let's call this solution A. And this is 25 milliliters of solution A that we have placed into the flask. We then take that flask and we fill it to its calibration mark with deionized water. So now we take, and this mark here might be the 500 milliliter mark. And we add deionized water to it to complete it. And once we've added deionized water, we can ask, what is the new concentration of the solution that we've just created? This is now solution B, and we have a new concentration. Of sodium chloride. It is a diluted concentration. We've changed the volume, in essence, in the process of doing this. So how do we, it looks like 100, but it's 500. Yeah, it is. It's 500 because that's what I wrote. So the question is, what is this new concentration and how do we do this? The formula that we use, so we have a dilution formula. The dilution formula is C1V1 equals C2V2. Sometimes you'll see it written M1V1 equals M2V2, where M, they're using M equals molarity. Where C equals concentration. And you say, well, wait a minute, molarity is concentration. So why do I have two different formulas? And the answer is that this is not specific to molarity, that we could use any concentration. We can use molality, normality. We could use percent. We could use parts per million or parts per billion. The concentration here is irrelevant of the type. And so while they may make it look like it only works for molarity, that's not true. The concentration formula, the dilution formula, works for any concentration, and it is C1V1, concentration times volume, equals concentration times volume two. Why is that? What is it? When I take concentration, let's take molarity for instance. Molarity is moles per liter. If you take moles per liter and you multiply moles per liter, and let's say that this is moles per liter one, and I multiply that by liter one, that's going to equal moles. And if I take moles per liter two, and I multiply that by liters two, that's also going to equal moles. And in fact, when these moles are the same, then that means that these two are the same. And I can take this and I can say that this moles is really equal to that guy. And if they are equal in that way, then they are equal to each other. And that's where the C1V1 equals C2V2 comes out, is because they are both equaling the same number of moles. And so they are equal to each other. So in using that, if we go through this example that I just did here, I can list out C1, V1, C2, and V2, and then I can solve for the unknown. For instance, the way that I did this problem up above, C1, V1, C2, V2, C1 was 500, no, 0.500 moles per liter sodium chloride. Volume one was 25 milliliters. That's how much I transferred. Concentration two is my unknown. Volume two is my 500 milliliters. So in my equation, C1V1 equals C2V2, I'm solving for C2. To solve for C2, I simply take both sides and divide both sides by V2. That moves it over to the left-hand side. And what I get is C1V1 divided by V2 equals C2. Notice that the units of volume are canceling each other. And so whether I have milliliters or liters, whatever they are, these units of volume are acting as a ratio to convert the first concentration into the second. And I am essentially canceling out the units of volume, and I will be left with units of concentration. So using this equation, and now plugging in my variables, I have concentration one, 0.500 molar. I don't even need to put the whole thing in there, sodium chloride, times V1, which is 25 milliliters, divided by V2, which is 500 milliliters. And the units of milliliters are going to cancel each other, and I'll be left with molarity. And because I'm taking a small number and dividing by a large, it will be a smaller molarity, a dilution. It will be diluted. So that's 0.5 times 25 divided by 0.5. Oh, divided by 500, sorry. 0.025. That's what the calculator spits out. Let's check sig figs and see if that's working. Sig figs were 3 because of the decimal, 2 because of the 25. And so I should have 2 sig figs, and that's indeed what I have. And with those 2 sig figs, this is moles per liter sodium chloride. That would be the new concentration. So dilutions are actually fairly simple. They don't take a whole lot of effort to go through and do the dilutions. So this new solution would be 0.025 moles per liter. sodium chloride. And that was our process and our result. It is sort of turkey baster-like, Eric. Yeah, in fact, that thing looks a lot like a turkey baster in the way that we use it. It's just a, this is called a volumetric pipette. And this one, a volumetric flask. And this guy that was holding this, this is just a beaker. Beakers have calibration marks on them. They have gradation marks, but the gradation marks are not very accurate. So we don't rely on the gradation marks on a beaker. We tend to use a very accurate volumetric flask or a very accurate volumetric pipette for these volume measurements. And that's how we go through and do these calculations. Why is the liters in milliliters capitalized? Liters in milliliters is always capitalized because the unit of liter is capitalized. It is just the way that liters are abbreviated. So we have the different measurements. The prefixes for some of the metric prefixes, centi, milli, micro. These were a lowercase c, a lowercase m, the mu. When I go to kilo, kilo is a lowercase k, but mega is an uppercase m, and giga is an uppercase g. The units for mass, meters, was a lowercase m. Liters was a capital L. And so I have meters, I have liters, volume, mass. Oh, I'm forgetting centimeters, meters. Why can't I find the other one? Liters, gallons, liters. Mass, volume, and I don't know, it's gone out of my brain. I can't find it. Anyway, liters is based on the capital L. It's just the way that they designed to do it, or they decided to do it. And so when we're doing milliliters, you're using the lowercase m and the capital L for milliliters. And that's the way that it's written out. It's if it was millimeters, it would be a lowercase m and a lowercase m. But this one is milliliters, just because that's what they do. It's the way they designed it. Okay, that was a little preview or review. Dilutions. So dilutions really don't get much more complicated than this. We could ask, given any three of the variables, we could ask for the fourth variable. Deci. Deci is a lowercase d for deci. Deca is a capital D. So in that thing over here, centi, deci went this way. We had base, and deci is a lowercase d. Deca is a capital D. So deca is times 10 to the first, deci is times 10 to the minus first. Centi times 10 to the minus 2, milli times 10 to the minus 3, kilo times 10 to the third. So it goes like that. More examples in molarity. Yeah, we'll do a couple of examples in molarity. Let's go through and do that. It's a good use of time. Okay, molarity examples and dilution examples. Let's say, how many grams of silver nitrate, AgNO3, are required to make 250 milliliters of a 0.625 molar solution. So in these problems, and they can be, I'm wording them in different ways, and so we'll look at some of the different permutations in which we can do these types of problems. The process of solving the problem is no different than the stoichiometry problems that we've already done. What we want to do is, in essence, identify the given, identify the conversion factor, and identify the desired. And so in breaking it down that way and parsing the problem in the way that we've done it, what are we given? What is a conversion factor? You should always see the molarity as a conversion factor. That the molarity in moles per liter, and you need to recognize it. I've written it out this way on purpose because I want to stress that when I see that capital M, and it really should have an underline on it, so let's throw that in there, that capital M is equal to moles per liter, and it is 2 units. And those things that are 2 units usually equal equalities, conversion factors. How many? As soon as I see how many, that's my desired. So when I see how many grams, I'm after grams. And the only other value in here is the 250 milliliters. That's my given. So I am being asked to go from milliliters as my given to grams as my desired. And I need to fill in the gaps in between in how I'm going to do that. The conversion factor that I am given is a moles to liters conversion factor. So if you look at this and you see what's going on, we've got volume over here. We've got mass over here. And so I'm gonna need to get some sort of bridge between mass and volume. And that bridge, that dividing line, I'm going to use the moles over here and the liters over here. And that is going to represent my molarity. That is my mass to volume conversion factor that gets me from point A to point B. So how do I get then from moles and liters to grams? That's molar mass. And how do I get from milliliters to liters? That's my SI conversion factors. So I have one line representing molarity, one representing molar mass, and one representing the SI conversion factor. But the molarity allows me to be able to convert between volume to, in this case, moles, but then eventually to mass. So that's where I need to think or do my work there. So now that I have a roadmap, milliliters to liters to moles to grams, and in order to do that, I will need the molar mass. Might as well calculate it now before I run off and start doing other things. So let me grab a periodic table because I can't remember the molar mass of silver. And
107.9.
Ooh, somebody's got the periodic table sitting there.
I do.
I knew it. I should just ask you because I know you've got that table sitting next to you on your right.
Yes, it is on my right. Damn.
I had to do that backwards because normally when I'm looking at the screen, you look on your left.
I do, huh? Yeah.
But that's just, I need to turn it around in my brain. Okay. So let's get our molar mass first. So molar mass is going to be, we've got one silver, we've got one nitrogen, and we've got three oxygens for the silver nitrate. So yeah, that silver was 107.9. Nitrogen is 14.01 and oxygen is 16.00. So just remember how we're doing that. And when I put it in the calculator, I don't do this. It's good to see how to do this. It's good to remember the way that we're doing this for the sig figs, since we seem to be doing a little bit of review here. 3 times 6 is 18. So what is that? 48. 48.00, which means that when I add all these together, I'm going to be rounding to this position. So it looks like I'm going to have a 9 in my last decimal digit there, but 107 plus 14 plus 48 is what, 169?
So rounding at this stage won't create a rounding error?
Normally what we do, yeah, I mean, yes and no. Normally what we do is when we do the molar mass, we usually use the molar mass or round the molar mass to the right value so that we know where it is. Technically, we could let it run wrong long and we could do it afterwards. But when we do addition, I always like to do that addition before. And this is the way that it's typically done, is to do the molar mass, round it, throw it into the rest of the calculation. Don't round anything else in the calculation until the end. That's typically what we wind up doing. That's what the textbook is going to do most of the time, I think, as they go through and do it. So we've got our molar mass, 169.9 grams per mole. And now we can do the rest of that roadmap. And I'll try to shrink it down so I can keep the roadmap in play. I forgot the problem though, 250 milliliters. So we're starting off with 250 with a decimal milliliters of silver nitrate, AgNO3, and I'll even put the word solution out there so that I know exactly what my units are and what it is that I'm converting. For every 1,000 milliliters of solution, I get 1 liter of solution. So this is now AgNO3 solution. And this was AgNO3 solution in the denominator. Now that I'm in liters, I'll go from my liters to moles. So from 1 liter of AgNO3 solution, I'm going to get, my molarity was 0.625. And that is moles of now just AgNO3. Now I'm out of the solution and I'm into just moles. From there, I'm going to use the molar mass. And for every 1 mole of AgNO3, it is 169.9 grams of AgNO3. And now I'm done. So I've converted my milliliters into liters. I've converted my liters into a unit in moles, and I've converted my moles into a number of grams. So it's 250 divided by 1,000 times 0.625 times 169.9, 26.546875 grams silver nitrate. Sig figs, 3 because of the decimal. Exact, 3 and 4. 26.5 grams of silver nitrate. All right, so from start to finish, how many grams of silver nitrate are required to make 250 milliliters of a 0.625 molar solution? We built the roadmap, we recognized our conversion factor, we thought of it as an equality, we wrote it out as bridging between the volume side and the mass side. We filled in from moles to grams with molar mass and filled in from liters to milliliters with the SI units. We calculated our molar mass so that we had it to throw into the problem when we needed it. And then we went through and followed our roadmap going from milliliters to liters, from liters to moles, and from moles to grams. Where did the 0.625 moles, where did that come from again? No, you got it, Eric, you found it. And how did that go? Did that make more sense in terms of following this through?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, let's look at another problem. So we've calculated how many grams we need to make a solution. Let's calculate what is the molarity of a solution made by dissolving 0.0932 grams of ammonium nitrate in enough water to make 1,000 milliliters of solution. So I could have just said 1 liter, but I wanted to get 4 sig figs in there. I guess I could have done it that way, as I could have said this is 1.000 liters. We would have done it that way too. So what is the molarity of a solution made by dissolving 0.0932 grams of ammonium nitrate in enough water to make 1,000 milliliters of solution? Molarity is moles per liter. And in this, we're actually given two things. There are two givens. There is the grams and the volume. And they are both givens. And the desired is the molarity. So we've got the grams, but we don't have the moles. So what we need to do roadmap-wise is we need to go, developing this roadmap, we need to go from, grams of ammonium nitrate, but I need a formula for ammonium nitrate. So ammonium nitrate is NH4 and NO3. That is made up of the ammonium ion, which is the NH4 plus, and the nitrate, which is the NO3 minus. And because they're each a positive single and a single negative, they go together in a 1-to-1 ratio. So I'm going from grams of ammonium nitrate, and I've got milliliters in my denominator. I need to go from grams to moles of ammonium nitrate. And in the denominator, I need to go from milliliters of solution to liters of solution. Now, normally I wouldn't give you a 1 liter like this. I would give you some other value. But because we're using volumetric glassware, these are generally round numbers. They're generally like 500, 200, 250. They're generally rounder numbers in the way that we're doing this, but they don't have to be. They could be just any volume that was filled that was recorded to a very specific reading. And so our roadmap goes from grams to moles, milliliters to liters, and we have one in the numerator and one in the denominator. This roadmap is just an SI conversion factor. And this one is the molar mass. So we're going to need to get the molar mass of ammonium nitrate before we can proceed with this roadmap and before we can go through and do the conversions. So the molar mass, I showed you one way to calculate molar mass where I did it in the table. Let me show you the shortcut way, how I would write this out for this problem. I would take and I would write that for the molar mass, when I'm looking at it, there are two nitrogens, four hydrogens, and three oxygens. So I take 2 times the mass of nitrogen, 14.01. I add to it 4 times the mass of hydrogen, 1.008. And I add to that 3 times the mass of oxygen, 16.00. And then I hit enter. So this is my nitrogen, my hydrogen, and my oxygen. And I just do it in the calculator. 2 times 14.01 plus 4 times 1.008 plus 3 times 16. 80.052. And based on my sig figs, noticing that each one of these are out to the hundredths, that one the thousandths, that one the hundredths. When I do the addition, I'll be rounding to the hundredths. So this would round in this position. This is going to equal 80.05 grams per mole. Most of the time when you do a molar mass, because the molar masses on the periodic table are all out 4 sig figs, and 4 sig figs takes them mostly to the hundredths, you're almost always rounding to the hundredths. You're never, almost never, I can't think of one case where you're going to be rounding to the thousandths. But you may get more than 4 sig figs because this value out here may jump up into the hundredths value. So you may get 4 or 5 sig figs in this value, but you will always be rounding to the hundredths position. So that's just a tip. But that's where we're generally doing our rounding based on the addition. Now that we have that molar mass, now we can do the rest of the roadmap. We can finish it out. So how many grams did I have? 0.0932. 0.0932 grams ammonium nitrate, NH4, NO3, over 1,000 milliliters. I could just say that's 1 liter, but I'm going to do the math anyway, just so that it makes sense. We go from grams that it is 80.05 grams of NH4, NO3, to 1 mole, NH4, NO3. And in the denominator, it is 1,000 milliliters for every 1 liter. So notice what I'm doing is I'm catching milliliters to milliliters, canceling that way, and I'm capturing grams to grams there. And the units that I am left with after things cancel is I'm left with moles over liters. And that is molarity, moles per liter. So math-wise, 0.0932 divided by 1,000 divided by 80.05 times 1,000. I could have just canceled those out and not even put those in. And that equals 0.00116427. I could keep going, 2, 3. Sig figs, we had 3. This was 4 because of the decimal. This was 4, and this one was a definition. So it looks like 3 is my smallest. Rounding to 3, this value would be written in one of two ways. 0.00116 moles per liter. We could write it this way, ammonium nitrate, NH4NO3. Or we could write it 1.16 times 10 to the minus 3 moles NH4 NO3. Ooh, there's some other ways we could write this. How about this? 1.16 millimoles. NH4NO3. Did I lose anybody on that one?
Millimoles?
Millimoles. Why not?
Why not?
It's a metric prefix. Why can't I throw millimoles in front of it?
You do you. It's good.
You do me. I do me.
Yeah.
So, yes, we can use metric prefixes in front of moles. You can have a millimole or a micromole or a kilomole. That the metric prefixes work in front of moles the exact same way that they work in front of liters or meters or any of the other units. So metric prefixes work just as well with these. I mean, probably won't bring that in, but I wanted to remind you that we could do that.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see, what else do I need to do? Let's give you another sample problem and have you guys work on it. Eric's asking for some more participation. Less Facebook-y, less watching. Let's see what I can give you to do here. Let's give you a problem. I'm gonna move my millimole one off this page and onto the other page. We'll just put it over here, make some room. All right. Let's give you guys a problem. Let's say, we'll do two. How many milliliters of a 1.735 molar solution of phosphoric acid are required to make 350 milliliters of 0.625 molar solution. So let's do that one. Let's have you guys work on that one for a minute. So first off, you need to identify what type of problem it is. And what sort of equation you're going to need to do it. Yeah, Eric's already parsing the problem and working on it, so he's throwing it in the chat. I was going to say that. I was going to say Eric likes to think out loud. In typing. Eric likes to think in typing. That's okay. That's parsing the problem. That's good. Ooh, maybe I should do the problem. I haven't done it yet. I'll do it quick too. Okay. How are you guys doing? This one's harder for a roadmap. Go for it, Kerrigan.
Yes.
Yes,
I
what?
I agree. It is harder.
Yes. This one's harder because this one doesn't quite fit the roadmap profile. It's a little bit different. This one is more of an algebraic problem. This is a dilution problem. So in identifying the problem, what you're doing is you're diluting something. And the word dilution wasn't used in the problem, but that's essentially what we're doing here. So being a dilution problem, this equals a C1 V1 equals C2 V2 problem. And to parse this problem, what you should do is you should start out C1 V1 C2 V2, and you should identify each of the variables and find the unknown.
What language, like, do you see that indicates to you, like, how do you, so that you know it's a dilution problem?
That's great. Okay. So let's read the problem. How many milliliters of a solution are required to make a volume and a concentration? If I'm taking one solution and I'm making a second, that is a dilution problem. So anytime I'm using one solution to make another solution, that's a dilution problem. And so sometimes the word dilution will be included in it, but often not. So the dilution problem is characterized by using one solution to make another.
Okay. That makes more sense. Thank you.
So much of this is pattern recognition. So much of it is, how do I recognize what type of problem this is so that I know what to use to do the problem? And then what is the skill set that I break that down and how do I do that? So with this problem type, the roadmap is, there isn't one. It's not a roadmap type problem. This type of problem in dilution problems is really a C1 V1 equals C2 V2. And the roadmap is the equation. It is four variables, given three, solve for the fourth. So we're given three, we're solving for the fourth. So what are we given in this? The givens are my initial concentration, my milliliters of my final concentration, and the final concentration itself, and my desired is how many milliliters. So we're breaking this out and we're identifying each piece and what each piece is. V2 is the 350 milliliters. And I'm going to put a decimal place in that to give that three sig figs. My C2 is the 0.625 moles per liter. My V1, how many milliliters, is my question mark. And my C1 is my 1.735 molar. Now, all I need to do is take C1, V1 equals C2, V2 and solve for V1, my desired. To isolate that on a side by itself, what I do is I divide both sides by C1. That isolates out the C1 and leaves V1 by itself. So now I get V1 is equal to C2, V2 over C1. And notice that the concentrations are going to cancel each other out in terms of their units. Only after I solve the problem do I then put the numbers in. I never put the numbers in and then try to solve it. Putting the numbers in and trying to solve it can create errors. It can lead you to make mistakes because you're moving numbers around and it's just much harder than moving a variable around. So move the variables first, solve the equation, then take your numbers and put your numbers into the equation. So now we get, go ahead, question.
How did you know which one was which?
20 years of experience.
Okay.
No. Let's answer that truthfully. how do I know which ones are which? How many milliliters of a 1.735 molar solution are required to make these two numbers go together? I am requiring to make. This is my final volume and final concentration. So these two numbers here go with C2 and V2. They are the required to make component. The initial are the C1 and the V1. So how many milliliters of this solution are required to make C2, V2? So I put in my concentration and my volumes, my initial concentration, and my initial volume is the question mark.
I see. Thank you.
I hope that helped.
That did. Thank you.
Okay. So it's 1.735 molar. My M's are getting funky as my pen drags. There we go. Times V1. No, V2. Where am I? I'm making a mistake myself. Fixing my mistake. Be more careful. 0.625 molar, that is C2, times V2, 350 decimal milliliters, divided by 1.735 molar. The units of molar are going to cancel each other, and I will be left with a value in milliliters. Notice that I don't even have to convert to liters. I didn't have to convert to liters because molar and molar are canceling each other out, and I can leave this in milliliters. I never have to convert to liters. It's kind of a nice thing about C1, V1 equals C2, V2, is that as long as your units are all the same, you're all good, and the units cancel each other out. So it's 0.625. Times 350 divided by 1.735, and that equals 126.08 milliliters. And sig figs wise, I need to round to 3, it's 126 of phosphoric acid, H3PO4. Sorry, I'm laughing at the chat. Looking to see where things are coming out. Yeah, you guys are getting it. You're getting a handle on this. And if you made mistakes, it's only because it's brand new. You're still learning this. When you sit down at a piano and you do your first piano lesson, you all suck. There's like that one guy in like a billion who can sit down and play by ear and just, who was it? Rocket Man. God, why can't I think of his name right
David
now?
David Bowie?
No, not David Bowie.
Elton John.
Oh, Elton John.
Elton John could play by ear. Elton John as a child could hear music and could sit down and could play the song and was phenomenal. If you watch that movie by Elton John and you see him as a child sitting down and listening to the piano teacher just play something and then his ability to just be able to play it, very few people can do that. Whenever we're learning, we all suck at it when we're first learning. We make mistakes. That's the process of learning. That's how we learn. We learn by making those mistakes. So don't get disappointed or frustrated. Know that it takes time and it takes practice. And that's
your analogy that I like the most is the language one. I appreciated that analogy.
Oh, and like
we're learning a new language.
Absolutely. We're learning a new language. And not only is it a new language, but it's a symbolic language. And so you're trying to learn a very difficult skill set. You're trying to learn not only the language, but the symbolism all at the same time. And that makes it extraordinarily difficult. That is a challenging thing to do. So be kind to yourselves, be patient, and practice. That's what it comes down to. Okay. One more? We got time for one more. Let's do another dilution one. So I'll set it up as a dilution one, and then you guys can figure it out. So we'll be consistent. We won't jump back and forth. So let's give you one more dilution one. Let's say that a reaction requires requires 320 milliliters of of a 0.175 molar solution. Of nitric acid. HNO3. In the stock room, you find a bottle of 6.725 molar nitric acid. How many milliliters of the 6.725 molar solution are required to make your 320 milliliters of 0.175 molar? Very wordy problem, but this is what typically happens. What typically happens is you need to make a certain concentration and a certain volume. And you go and you find the stock solution, and the stock solution is of a variable higher concentration. How do I dilute it down? How many milliliters do I need? So you parse the problem and you figure out your C1, your V1, your C2, your V2. Figure out what your unknown is, and then work the problem. And this is a very typical thing that we do actually in Chem 1A, that we require you to do dilutions, that for some of the labs, you need to dilute down a stock solution before you can proceed in doing the lab. So we do this all the time. So I'm gonna do it on paper here real quick before I. And you know what? I do it. I don't have a shortcut for this. I sit down and do it exactly the same way that you do. I list out my C1s, my V1s, my C2s, my V2s. I list them all out. And then I go through and I do the calculation exactly the way that you guys would do. And I even do the math in solving it the same way. I don't do anything different. And so you probably can find a way to shortcut things. But sitting down and writing it all out is the way that you learn it. And I made a mistake someplace. It was in my C1. Got it. Calculator. Make sure you get the sig figs right. Okay, Kai's got it. Anybody else want to throw it into the chat? Jonathan, looking good. I'm liking that. M, oh, I still don't know who M is. Okay, M, you need to put your name on there and get rid of that M. That's killing me. I can't even call you by a name. I just got to call you M. It's the mystery man or woman. M for mystery. Max. Thanks, Max. Max, I think there's a math error in there. Eric, you got it. Max, just check the math. You're in the right. Vanessa's got it. Ayla, nice. Yeah. Vanessa's doing a spoiler alert. It's supposed to be a private conversation. This is where it starts going downhill quick. No, you didn't. You're fine. You're fine, Vanessa. It's all good. We're all learning. All right. So I lost the page. What did I do with it? Let's finish this out real quick. Let's see how you guys are doing. So my C1 is 6.725. 6.725 molar. Moles per liter. Volume one. This makes me nervous, to be honest. Writing it as the M with the underscore. Because when we get into the stoichiometry problems, when we get into even the other problems of going between moles and liters, if you don't realize or remember what the units are on this, you can make a mistake. And so I like to write it out moles per liter a lot as opposed to the underscore. 0.175 molar. Moles per liter for concentration 2 and 320 milliliters for volume. And so we had C1 V1 equals C2 V2. We're solving for, in this case, V1. So V1 equals C2 V2 divided by C1. And that means that V1 is going to be equal to concentration 2. 0.175 moles per liter times the 320 milliliters, which I know that the milliliters don't cancel, but that doesn't matter because what goes in the denominator, the 6.725 moles per liter does cancel with the numerator, and I'm left with just milliliters. So it's 0.75 times 320 divided by 6.725 and rounded to the proper three sig figs. Volume one is going to be 8.33 milliliters. And that is how we do it. So watch those three sig figs. Okay. How did that feel? A little bit better now that we've had a little bit more practice?
I have a question.
Go for it.
Is it safe to say that for the dilution problems, when the question is asking for molarity, that's when we know we have to, we have to find our molar mass and build a roadmap. But when it's not asking for molarity, it's more of a C1V1 kind of problem?
No, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Actually, that's not true. Watch this. What is the resulting molarity? When a stock solution, when 6.72 milliliters of a stock solution of 10.62 molar sulfuric acid is diluted to a final volume of 125 milliliters. So in this case, if I list out C1, V1, C2, and V2, what is the resulting molarity? My concentration is the question. V2 is 125 milliliters. V1 is the 6.72 milliliters. And C1 was given to me as 10.62 molar. And so, yes, I can ask for a concentration in a dilution problem, and it is not a molarity problem in that regard. It's still a dilution problem.
Okay.
So you do need to be careful of that. You can't just base it just on molarity. You have to look at what else is being given in the problem and as to what type of problem it is. So I don't need molar mass to complete this, even though I'm asking for molarity.
Gotcha.
Hope that makes that clear.
What about if the problem includes the verbiage about like what molecular weight, like grams? Like if you see the word grams, is that like an indicator of?
Most of the time, yes. If you see the word grams, then you're going through molar mass and going to molarity that way. That's a little bit more of an indication. The two problem types, once you start to recognize them, once you do a couple of them, they pop out at you a little bit easier. Like for instance, the first one that we did, I said, what is the molarity of a solution made by dissolving? And I had grams in there and then I had a volume. So when they gave me grams, I need to get to moles. So yes, that is an indication that if grams are in there and I need to go through molar mass, that I'm going through a roadmap that is calculating out molarity. Versus here in this problem type, I was not given grams, I was given two volumes and a molarity, and I'm calculating out the final volume. That's,
yeah, because your V1 and V2 are going to be the same units.
That's right. Yeah. Although they don't have to be the same units. I could have said that that my final volume two was 125 liters.
Then we have to add the conversion factor at the end?
Yeah, then I have to convert them into the same units so that I don't mess it up. So then I would have to convert either the first one into liters or the second one into milliliters so that they were canceling appropriately. So that would be true. For instance,
but they both have to be volume, like units of volume.
They have to be the same units of volume. So for instance, let's say that this was not milliliters, let's say that this was liters. Then what I would have to do is I would have to convert this one and say, all right, for every 1 liter, there's 1,000 milliliters. And now that it's in milliliters, now I could go through and do the problem with it, because now the units of milliliters to milliliters would cancel each other out and I would be okay.
But if you had a unit of weight and a unit of volume, that might tip you off that it would be the other,
a real the other type, kind the of other problem type. Yes, exactly. Okay.
What's the other problem type called?
Doesn't have a name. I hesitate to, it's really, they're both calculations of either volumes or molarities, but it's not a dilution problem. It's the other type. It doesn't have a name. I don't know. Sorry. I can't put a name to it. I'm trying to think of one. I need to come up with a creative name. But it's not a dilution problem. It's the other type. That's what we'll call it. We'll call it the other type.
What about in celebration of today, you could call it the Trump tax problem.
Oh, the Trump tax. Yeah. We'll give it the Trump tax problem. Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. I need to go see how badly he's blown up on Twitter. The last I checked when I had just a second was that they kicked it back to the courts for the congressional oversight issue, that the lower courts need to decide the congressional oversight issue. And the Supreme Court refused to decide on that one. But in the case of the New York subpoena for his taxes from the banks, they said that that must go forward immediately. So it seems like the New York office of the Attorney General is going to get his taxes. Congress is going to have to wait and push that through and try to get it through the lower courts, and that will continue. So we'll see where that goes. But any bad day for Trump is a good day for me, and I'll take it. All right, I need to stop being political. You can stop dragging me into things. Okay, let's call it here. Let's take a break. Let's get some lunch, and I'll see you guys in the afternoon lab.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.